Today on Success is the New Black, not only do we have something to help your business knowledge, but we have ladies that are going to tantalize your taste buds also. We have dessert divas themselves, the co-owners of Southern Girl Desserts, coming up next. That's right, we're going to work it out. It's yet another edition of Success is the New Black, and I am your host, Tara Johnson. Today, I'm kicking it solo because Ashita couldn't be here, but we're down one host, but we're up two guests, and I am utterly excited to have these ladies with us today. Your Cupcake Wars winners... your former sugar addicts. We have the co-owners of Southern Girls Desserts. That's right. We have Katara here with us today, Katara Coleman, and Shoniji. I got it, girl.
You did.
Robinson with us here today. Hello. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I am so good. No, seriously, I'm really excited to have you guys here.
And we're excited to be here. Thank you so much for having us.
Like. I'm a Southern girl.
Yes.
I talk about it all the time, being from Georgia. And what I found when I came to L.A. was, I was like, what a food. People don't eat here.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And hit it on the head.
And I was like, wait a minute. I can't go down the street and get no red velvet, no pecan, no sweet potato, no nothing.
Preach.
So, as I understand it, that's the inspiration of where Southern Girls Desserts came from.
Absolutely.
And so, you helped all of us Southerners here. And you've been helping everybody else in LA. So tell us how the whole thing went down or where the idea came from.
So it was super selfish. It was the same thing you were talking about. You know, I'm sitting in Inglewood and craving my grandmother's red velvet cake. And they live in Florida. So I had no family in LA and no one who I knew I could go to for that fix.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started calling home and like, what's up? Can I get that recipe? And of course, if anyone has a grandmother, especially a Southern one, they don't put anything down. So everything is kind of like, well, a little bit of this, a little pinch of that. And, you know, that's where Southern Girl was born. It was born from a need of wanting to have that homemade baked dessert that you could not get in L.A. I know everyone tried and people were recommending places, but it just wasn't what we were used to.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants their grandmother stuff. And that's how Southern Girl was born.
And when you guys got started, and did you start together or
very close? We're twins, so you know I came out
a couple
first,
minutes,
and then a couple minutes
apart.
She was born. I'm the older twin. Literally, left like 6 months. You know, I started a business in July of 2007, and toward the end of that year, Shaniji came on board.
Now, how was it for you, Katara, to like start this business? Because you know, I would be honest.
Mm-hmm.
We as business owners can hoard some stuff. Like, we don't always like to share.
She's the hoarder.
Yeah. It's funny because a sorority sister of ours, who we both know separately, kind of introduce us. And so Shaniji, as I started Southern Girl, Shaniji, that I didn't know at the time, was starting her own bakery. And she was getting flyers ready and trying to get her bakery started. And the friend was like, listen, y'all might want to come together and do this together.
Because we have the same friend group.
And it was the same, you know, thought process behind what the, you know, we were trying to do, Southern desserts. So I invited her over to my apartment. And Shaniji came in and we talked for a little while. I don't remember the specifics of the conversation, but I asked her if she wanted to be my business partner.
Wow.
And
within 30 minutes.
That's
like,
just
girl,
me.
You want a partner? Okay, girl, yeah.
But she's like, but I don't know how this is going to work out, so I can't share any recipes. I was like, well, I want to share any recipes either. But
oh,
I was
really?
Ready to go.
No, honey.
Really?
No, that's the one.
Have you guys shared recipes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yet? I'm like,
it didn't last very long because the business actually started in our homes.
Okay. Yeah.
And so she lived in Inglewood.
Right.
I lived in North Hollywood.
Okay.
And we were running this business, but it was basically two different businesses.
If anybody knows in LA, that's not an easy drive.
No, I mean, it could be a 15-mile difference, but that could be a two-hour drive.
Seriously. So we were, like I said, we were basically running two different businesses with the same recipes. But even then, in the very beginning, because we both have that similar background, we still weren't even really writing anything down.
No.
It was me that came and said, Katara, we have got to get some consistency.
Because even to this day, sometimes I'll be like,
and I'm like, stop it.
She's like, you know, we do things with recipes.
We have
now.
Recipes now.
I was like, well, I put a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
You can't run no business.
It'll still
like
be
that.
Good because you know it's out of love.
How did you guys decide? Two red velvet cake recipes.
Well,
we
had a red velvet recipe, and she had a red velvet recipe.
Right, so
recipe.
How did you decide which recipe?
We put them together, okay. And we decided which one we thought worked best. Yeah. And that's what we went with.
So
and
you two could actually say, all right, girl, your red velvet might be just a smidge better than mine.
We took elements of both the parts that were good because they were both good, but neither one of them separately was great.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and that's the thing. We were able to kind of recognize that, and we were like, okay, let's.
And that's what you need. You need people who are not going to be so like, I can't believe that.
Right.
And so, you know, and she was open. I was open to just, we were about Southern Girl at that. It wasn't Shaniji and Katara anymore. It was about Southern Girl.
I mean, you really hear that rarely. Because you know what I mean? Like, people are like, I started my business. My business is the best, blah, blah, blah. So, kudos to you two to be able to come together. And like you said, put Southern Girl desserts first in order to make the best business possible.
Yeah, that was the most important thing.
I think it's amazing that the story, because I, you know, normally hear about people starting businesses in their garage together and, you know, that kind of thing. So if you guys be put together, big ups to the friend who put you two together.
Big ups to her.
Nikaya.
Do you guys give Nikaya like unlimited cupcakes?
She gets what she needs.
Whatever she needs.
It sounds like it. Yeah. So when you guys got started, you were working literally two businesses out of your home.
Yes.
And so how was it when you got started? Like, capital is such a thing that stops so many businesses.
Oh my goodness.
You guys do savings, loans? Like, what did you do to get started?
All of that.
Yeah. I work for a company, and so I had a 401k and savings. I was a very frugal person, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna get this little 401k out of here and get some money that we need. And then we were calling our parents and calling on them for assistance, and whoever would, I mean, we had friends who were wanted to invest in us,
and we both had jobs too at that time.
Okay.
So pretty much all of our money went into the business. Obviously, we weren't making any money. We weren't making any money.
It's all about the love.
Yeah, so.
That takes you far, though.
It has brought us very far.
Yeah. To have a company created on love, especially when you have something that's desserts.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people feel the difference. I mean, look at the Patty Pies a couple of years ago. Because, you know, Patty was all about the love. Right. That stuff takes you far. How long was it before you guys started to, like, turn a profit?
Some years.
Yeah. You know, and people tell you it takes 5 years to just to see if you can get past that 5-year hump to start the business going in the right direction. And we're going into our 10th year.
That's amazing.
This year would be 10 years. And sometimes I know we look back and we're like, how did we make it through that? Because capital is not easy to come by.
It's not easy. And I also think there's a huge difference between having a home-based business in this industry that we're in versus when you have brick and mortar. Mm-hmm. Like, we always say that our business really started once we opened up our store location.
Oh, absolutely.
We look back on it, and every step of that journey has aided to get us where we are now. But it's like night and day.
So did you feel like you almost started business completely over?
Yeah, we had
completely
employees.
Over. Yeah.
You know, we had all of these business things that came. You had to have taxes. And, I mean, those were all on a small scale at first. But now we have employees, which is a whole nother part of this business thing. And then we're our rent and everything that came with that. And just having marketing and... It was a lot.
I think the portion at home was really helpful in helping us to perfect recipes, mm-hmm. helping us to get in the swing of the process mm-hmm. of getting things done. And I think had we not had that experience opening up the brick and mortar, we would have really just failed miserably.
Yeah.
Because having to do that level of production on a regular basis, you know, we had that background, mm-hmm. you know, just obviously on a smaller scale. Mm-hmm. So you just take that small scale and make it grander, right. you know, for the need. So
for our entrepreneurs out there in the food industry mm-hmm. or even kind of any kind of product that you're doing, mm-hmm. when do you suggest that you really consider brick and mortar? Because you've seen people who are like, I haven't sold anything, but I'm about to get this 20,000 square foot. But you know what I mean? Trying to get
you
this
know what? We had a proven concept when our brick and mortar came along.
Yeah.
Even though we had tried little parts of brick and mortar before, we mm-hmm. were like partnering with other companies and had little small
sharing space
and okay. things like that. But when we got out on our actual own, I think that comes with experience. Because even with the experience we had, we did not know the how Southern Girl would take off
right.
in that moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just comes with, if you got the money, you know?
If you got the money, just say whatever happens.
Right. Exactly. And you get to throw in there to keep it going until it really picks up, then you can go for it. But I know that a lot of us do not come with a rich uncle who right. can say, here's $250,000 to go and start your business and someone there to catch you when you fall. And we didn't have that experience, but, you know, we just kind of had to work at it until it was really blessings. It was a lot of blessings and baking.
I heard that.
I still don't know to this day how we've gotten this far. I mean, I know.
Right.
That it was God, and
yeah.
I know it was just us being faithful, but still, it's kind of like, how did that happen?
Well, 10 years, so many businesses don't make, like you were saying,
yeah.
so many businesses don't make it past 3 and 5, because you do have those ups and downs, those mm-hmm. ebbs and flows. What's the formula that you guys put together to get through the low periods, the low times? I mean, I know we talked about God mm-hmm. and prayer and blessings,
yeah.
and I'm with all of that.
Yeah.
But did you like sit down with each other and go, okay, let's re-strategize, let's pivot, you know?
I think one of the main things is we've been fortunate enough to have each other.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, you know, we talk about this so much. Like, a lot of people talk down on partnerships and things like that because lots of people have had horrible experiences.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is a part of the puzzle that has helped our business to be as successful as it has been. We can bounce things off of each other.
Yeah.
We gonna fuss and cuss and, you know, do all of that with each other as well. In public. But, you know, being able to say, okay, this isn't working, or, oh my gosh, we just need to cry for a minute, or, you know, whatever the case mm-hmm. may be, we've had that.
Yeah.
So,
when people coming for you on Twitter and Facebook and Yelp and crap, and you don't have anyone to go to because
yeah.
you're just having your inner business struggles, like, this is a partnership is like a marriage, you know, and you don't tell everybody what's going on in your
mm-hmm.
marriage,
right?
So, a lot of things we couldn't go and tell people. We just had to work through them ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and because we had each other, we were able to get on the phone with each other or meet up and cry and yell and scream and do what we need to do, and then say, okay, let's motivate each other to get back on track. And
yeah.
when you're in a business partnership, if one person is not feeling it right now, good thing is one person is. And so we kind of, like, in those ups and down moments, and we're not both, like, down at the same time,
right.
or
mm-hmm.
and we can just help each other. Okay, you have your little moment, I'm gonna have my little moment, and then we'll get back at it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really is amazing, because you don't hear a lot of people being advocates for partnerships. Like, you don't. Like, we've seen, you know, we saw the whole Social Network film where people were paying off millions of dollars
yeah.
because they were trying to break it down
yeah.
and forget about the partnerships. So when the partnership was going well and you got the phone call for Cupcake Wars, what did that feel like?
You know, Cupcake Wars was very new when we first got our phone call, so it wasn't this big hit.
We
were the first episode.
Wow.
On Cupcake Wars.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, cool, Food Network. That was very exciting, but we didn't know about this show. And so our first time going on was like, It was crazy because
we didn't even know really what to expect.
We didn't know what we were supposed to be doing, what to expect, and it showed because we were like out the second little round. They were like, okay, peace out, Southern girls. But we were just happy to be on television.
Of course. You know,
we were just like, okay, this is going to help our business. But that was the first of three times that we were on the show.
Well, I will say something. It's something that you were doing right for them to ask you to come back.
Yeah.
And third time was the charm.
It was.
And how did you see? Because, you know, everyone in business, everyone in television, you're always trying to get that national exposure because you think it's going to change things overnight. Did you get that type of result from being on Cupcake
Wars? It don't change things overnight, but it does draw attention and it keeps building on the next thing to the next thing. Yeah. And at the first, when we first were on Cupcake Wars, we didn't have a brick and mortar. So we didn't get to see those, like, everyday foot traffic as if we would have done it, like, the third time when we actually were in our bakery.
So, yeah. So then you see the foot traffic and that kind of thing. What type of preparation did you have to do for it? Because, you know, you hear about a lot of businesses and it's like people with the Oprah effect.
Yeah.
I didn't have enough stuff for the orders that came in. Because that can be
Oprah and Food Network.
Yeah, that could be like
you wasn't the Oprah effect. However, we still have people coming in.
And we do have something that could kind of compare, not on the same level as Oprah, but to compare with that, we did a Groupon.
Oh, God. Yeah.
When Groupon was fairly new.
Okay.
You know, and that thing hit. We sold like 1,500 Groupons.
Oh, my gosh.
The day that we went live on there, we sold 1,500. Mind you, we were in this shared space. And at that time, we were in the middle of getting a makeover with a show on HGTV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And so it was done. And the people that we were partnering with in the store decided they didn't like the fact that our name was bigger than theirs outside.
Oh.
And they asked us to leave.
Oh, you can politely give us our keys back. Thank you.
Right. And we were like, okay, mind you, we had just sold 1,500 Groupons with the address of where we were on where to come and get their stuff.
Right.
So this is one of the things that Katara is talking about, how you can't tell everybody the story. Like, there was no one we could tell. Mm-hmm. We can't go on, do a Facebook Live and say, these people kicked us out.
Okay, this is what's going on, okay? Don't be mad at us, but if you go back to Yelp 2010, you're going to see these people hated our guts.
It was horrible.
It was bad.
My gosh.
Our Yelp was so bad because we looked crazy.
We did. And I was actually looking at an email that I sent to the people over at Food Network, and I'm like, we're going to come and we're going to tape this show, but please believe that it's just been a really hard week for us because all that was happening at the same time.
Oh my gosh. Because I have read case studies about businesses being shut down by the amount of traffic they get from Groupons and that type of thing.
Oh, Groupon is real. I don't think we haven't done it since then just because of the experience. And it probably wasn't by Groupon's fault. It was more of just our situation at the time.
Circumstances.
But left a bad taste in our mouth. We're like, you know what? We're going to stay away from this Groupon.
Well, to everybody out there, if just in case you haven't gone back and given them a chance, this was 2010?
Come on, y'all. We got two new presidents since then.
Come on. 7 years later,
give us a chance. Your credit score clears up in 7 years. Come on.
Right, give them a chance. So we've done Cupcake Wars. We've gotten that success. We have brick and mortar.
Yeah.
I read an article about you two being on Dr. Oz, which I want to applaud you because sugar addiction, come on, y'all.
It's real.
Sugar addiction is real.
It is very real.
And how nervous were you about going on the show talking about sugar addiction while you owned a bakery?
We thought about that in the beginning.
We had a conversation. Mm-hmm. We were like, whoa, like, this is, like, we're basically telling people don't come eat
our dessert.
Yeah.
And then we said, but you know what? Ain't nobody gonna listen. No.
All them diabetics that come in there and talking about, I'm diabetic. Yeah, I'm about to lose a leg, but you know, give me that leg.
Get that pound cake.
That is true.
And we're not laughing about that.
No.
We're not laughing about it. It's very
diabetes
serious.
Diabetes is very serious. And if you have it, you need to take care of that.
And be easy on that red velvet.
Be easy on that red velvet.
But so we did discuss that, and what we realized was that this is something that's serious. Mm-hmm. Like we just said, like, we really need to go and see, like, okay, are there some alternatives? What can we do? Yeah. And what they did was they made us go get physicals.
Yeah.
But they didn't give us results. They actually read, Dr. Oz read the results of our physicals on the show.
Yeah.
So, and it scared the crap out of me because my cholesterol was crazy.
Was it?
And I think she was, you were pretty cool.
Yeah. I think the thing is, and what we really wanted to do was make sure that people knew that you can do this, but in moderation. Mm-hmm. And because we work in the business
every day,
you're going there hungry, you're there in the evening, and I'm starving. And what do? You grab a cookie, you grab a slice of cake. And so we were eating desserts,
normal.
Like, you know, that's, we were on abnormal, you know, consumption of cake and pie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in the beginning of our business, so we're trying different recipes, so we're tasting and tasting again, and like, oh, that was good, let me have a little bite. And so just got out of control, but we thought we would go on there and just show people that, you know, like she said, we can learn better ways to incorporate healthier alternatives, not necessarily get rid of this, but add this.
Right.
Yeah.
And so how is it going for both of you without the sugar or reducing the sugar? How's that going personally?
You know, I have a relationship with sugar where, you know, we together. Sometimes we together. Sometimes we not together.
They be breaking up.
We be breaking up. And, you know, we not together right now.
Oh, you're not? Okay. All right.
We've been broken up
for a couple weeks. Are you texting, though? You know how you break up, you text.
Look, I have to go. The thing is, we work together, right? So I have to go see him.
She be doing drive-by.
And they be talking cookies. Talk to me and everything, but it's just one of them things where you have to just have willpower over it
and say, awareness, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay, not today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, and I am proud to tell my story, right after that show, a 3-month period, I went completely without sugar.
Crazy. For three months.
That's amazing. I lost 30 pounds.
Oh my gosh, Mazel Tov,
yes.
That's great.
Yes, it was great. It was great. So, like she mentioned before, when it comes to desserts, a lot of stuff is very selfish. Mm-hmm. So because of me saying I'm not doing this, but I love dessert,
right,
I had to come up with some stuff that I could actually eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a great thing in the process. You know, we were able to learn some really, really helpful tricks and learn some new ways to do desserts and mm-hmm. all that kind of jazz. So it was great.
That's I mean, it's honestly, I said, I was like, wait a minute. I mean, branding rules will tell you don't go on.
Right.
Yeah, we switched that little thing going around. And people are like, oh, people are like, I saw you on Dr. Oz. Your sugar high. Mine is too.
And then they're buying a cupcake.
How you doing though?
I mean, because it's also a very personal thing.
Yes,
and like
it
you
is.
Said, you don't always tell everybody your business. You can't tell everybody your business, but I'm sure you helped somebody with that.
That was our goal.
Yeah.
Hopefully we did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So what is new with Southern Girl Desserts now? New products? Like, what's going on now?
Well, we actually have some baking series that are going to be coming out. We did if you all watch Cooking Panda, they do all these different recipes and you can show you how to do them really quickly. And it had this recipe, it was a sweet potato pie, but it had Parmesan cheese inside.
Oh my gosh.
And
exactly.
You see that reaction?
The internet went crazy. People started tagging us and saying, I know you guys don't, you know, approve of this. And maybe after a week after it went crazy, we got a phone call from an email from Cooking Panda. And they said, do you all mind coming in and showing us how you do sweet potato pie? And so we came in, we did it, and it's now had over 2 million views.
Oh my gosh.
Because people are like, you know, and it's funny because my mother specifically was on there fussing at people.
Her mother.
They're my babies. Why are y'all talking this? I digress. But they liked it so much that we're going to be introducing a new series on Cooking Panda that will release in April.
Okay.
And we'll be showing different Southern recipes.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It'll be our own little show.
And you guys have a new line that you're working on or something?
We're working on some healthier desserts.
From what you learned with the sugar addiction.
Absolutely.
Now, when those roll out, you give me a call.
I'm gonna need some of that. We get a lot of people coming in wanting gluten free and you know, sugar free and all of these different things.
I think there's a big shift with people wanting to become more health conscious,
especially people of color.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, you don't have a lot of options. And the thing is, when it comes to us, we want stuff that's good. I don't care how healthy it's supposed to be or whatever it's supposed to be. It has to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's the thing that we feel really confident that we have hit with this. And it's going to be great. I think people are going to really take to it. And it's a different extreme, but some people are looking for that other extreme.
Especially in LA. When I moved to LA, I was just like, I can't get no regular hamburger. Right. I can't, you know what I mean? Like that. I mean, those kind of things that you were
especially
used to.
Here.
You want grass fed? Right. I'm like, I can't get no regular. But you're right. Like, we are, especially as a culture, it can be, it does not have to be healthy, but it has to be good because it's not, we're not going
to
eat it.
Not at all. I mean, I got to LA and became bougie with my food. Like, you know, I only eat grass fed beef.
And then I go back home to Athens. Mom, like, what?
Everybody right. Your mama, like,
right, you better go to this Chili's, girl.
Exactly.
Let me tell you.
Mama's don't
play. When I first moved to LA, I became a vegetarian. And
you're doing too much.
Yes. I went home. My grandmother was still alive at that point, and I'll never forget, we were at my grandmother's house, and my dad was like, Mama, she doesn't eat meat. Well, eat the chicken.
Like, chicken, not
lady. She ain't trying to hear it. She ain't trying to hear it. So we do have a newlywed here in the house.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
It's not me.
It's me.
How are you balancing work, marriage? Because, I mean, balance is, I mean, you know, even if you're not, like, figuring out that balance, being entrepreneurs, you got to worry about safe self-care, taking care of yourself, and it's all about balance.
Yeah.
How are you balancing the business, the demands of it, the husband?
I'm still learning, but I believe, and we both have learned balance in the last 5 years, which is when we opened our storefront. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's one of those things where Shanice knows, I'm like, I can't. I need to do this, or I got to do that, because I am trying to balance a lot, and having a husband is very demanding.
Right.
And we're trying to have kids too. So when that comes in the picture, you know, some things are going to have to, like, you know, I'll have to figure that out all over again. But it was hard for me at first because I felt obligated to be over here, and I felt obligated to be over here. And when I was here, I felt guilty for not being here, and vice versa. But you know, I feel like I have a groove now, and she learned my groove as well. So now we know kind of how each other, we work in those situations. And sometimes it just don't work out, and you're just like, okay, well, you know, you got to do this.
Right.
You know, so, but try not to do it as often. Try not to neglect business, and try not to neglect relationship, because I need both.
Right. But Shanice, you had to make an adjustment too, because you said before, your partnership is like a marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now your partner has another partner. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure some adjustments.
She was cheating on me. And so, you know,
she had to learn how to deal with it.
It got bad, you know, for a minute, because I'm like, well, shoot. Well, he don't understand. You know what I mean? So, and it's true. Like, you do have to figure it out. And I think she was saying, she's figured out her balance in the last 5 years. I'm kind of figuring mine out in the last 2 years.
Okay.
And so, it's really one of those things where you have to decide really what the priority is for you. And for she and I, the priority isn't always the same thing. And it just is what it is.
Right.
At the end of the day, there's two of us, there's one business, and we will make a decision and pray that the doors are still open the next day. And it's just that simple.
Right.
You
know,
sometimes you just gotta be like, whatever.
You know, because it'll be times you'll be like, you know, just blank stare.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, and it's one of those things, is like, you don't understand, you just don't understand.
Yeah.
You know? And we had to learn, but like, I may not understand it, but I gotta respect it. Mm-hmm. Or I have to just be okay with it. You know what I mean? So it was a very sensitive you know, area for us at a for a while, mm-hmm. but we knew we weren't going anywhere, and we were going to have to just make it work.
Yeah. Well, it has it ebbs and flows, and it has to have
exactly.
to it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And, but that's one of the biggest things about having that partnership is, like, she's. I think the word she just hit on is the biggest one. It's just respect. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I respect her marriage. I respect, you know, what they have going on. But at the same time, you know, I need to make sure that I'm good too, because my man be looking at me like,
girl, you know, they all be looking like.
So right. So you really, I think one of the biggest issues with business owners is that you always have someone in your ear, a mentor or someone who's done it before, mm-hmm. or whatever, and you always respect that person or those individuals' opinions, and you want to take everything they say at face value. But what you have to realize is that your situation is different.
Yeah.
And so when you hear people saying, well, you got to be there, and you can't, you know, what do you mean, having a baby? You ain't got time for babies. And, you know, it's like, wait a minute, you still have to live.
Yeah.
You still have to live. Yeah. So you just have to figure it out and how it works best for you.
Yeah.
I really, like, I hate to even wrap up, but because I've had, like,
I'm ready.
That's what I'm saying. That I'm having the best time. But before we end, give our audience three things that they can do after they stop watch, after you stop watching this video and then liking it and then tell somebody else to watch it. After you do
and
those,
sharing it.
Right. After you do those things, give our audience three things they can do to start their business.
My advice would be start now. There is no reason to wait until you collect, you know, $100,000 in crowdfunding. That may happen, awesome, but if it doesn't, don't let that determine when you start your business. You can start for as easy as $25 going to get your DBA, which is doing business as, you know, or starting getting your business license and just get things rolling, because when the opportunity comes around, you want to be prepared to go. And another thing is what we did not do, and not necessarily telling other people to do this because we just kind of hit the road running a little bit, but making sure you have a business plan or a growth plan to know what direction you want your business to go into. Mm-hmm. We played a lot of it off of gut. We still do to this day, but that may not be how it will work for you. Like I said, we had all kind of angels and Jesus and St. Paul.
Call on
and
it.
All of them. Mary. Everybody. Joseph. Everybody was on our side, and this is, we know for sure that we are living in the purpose and plan for our lives, so it had to work out.
Right.
But just be prepared. Go into it with some knowledge of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And just, you know, just go. You know, when somebody calls you and asks you, can you, say yes
and figure it out.
Mm-hmm. You know, Google is an amazing thing.
Yes,
and so a lot of people are very Google smart these days, and you can be too.
Right.
So you too can Google.
Thank you so much for being
here, Tara.
Let everybody know where they can find you too. They can find the business, where they can order, where you can buy a bunch of cupcakes. You can send me some. I mean, let's just let everybody know exactly where they can find you.
Okay, so on our Twitter, we are Dessert Divas. And on our Facebook and our Instagram, we're a Southern Girl Desserts. And you can find all of our desserts and everything. And we have a brick and mortar at the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Mall. That's on MLK and Crenshaw. We're open 7 days a week. Oh, Jesus. And you can come in and just find all sorts of amazing desserts that your grandmother and mama, they don't feel like baking, because we know all y'all mama and them can
Everybody bake.
Everybody mama got the best. Everything. But just in case.
They don't feel
she don't live here. And y'all don't, they don't feel like doing it. Y'all come and see us.
Or you know what? Buy some and then take them to your grandmother.
Absolutely.
You know, and then ask her what she thinks.
That's what we're competing against your grandma.
Yes.
That's what you can do too. Can they order online and have them shipped to you?
Well, right now we're not doing any nationwide shipping, but if you go to E24 or Grubhub or any places like that, online delivery services, they can have them delivered that way.
You don't have to leave the house.
Yeah.
You can have them delivered to you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Thank you again both
so much for having us.
So
we really enjoyed it.
Fun. Southern Girls Desserts, get them. Share them. Kate, like if you having birthdays, like whatever you got to do,
mm-hmm.
and it's all, I'm going to say, in moderation for all you sugar addicts out there.
Yes. You're not alone.
But thank you so much for being here. I'm Tara Johnson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TJ Wagging Her Tail. And we will be back, as she and I will be back next week for another episode of Success is the New Black. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.